Chapter 24. Playing the carefree tourist, Remy smiled and pressed her face against Sam's as they looked at the LCD screen. "Our friendly tailgaters," she whispered through her smile. "A coincidence?" "I'd like to think so, but the binoculars make me nervous. Unless he's an urban bird watcher. Or he's stalking an ex-girlfriend. I think we'd better assume the worst. Do you see the other one around? The one with the mustache?" "No." "Come on, let's go. Act casual. Don't look around." They entered the museum, stopped at the welcome desk, and asked for Cipriani. The receptionist picked up the phone and spoke a few words in Italian, and a few moments later a portly man with thinning salt-and-pepper hair appeared in the doorway to their right. "Buongiorno," the man said. "Posso aiutarla?" "You're up, Remy," Sam said. While they both spoke several languages, Italian had for some reason always flummoxed him. Remy was the same way with German, which came naturally to Sam.
"Buongiorno," she said. "Signor Cipriani?"
"Si."
"Parla inglese?"
Cipriani smiled broadly.
"I speak English, yes. But your Italian is very good. How can I help you?"
"My name is Remy Fargo. This is my husband, Sam."
They all shook hands.
"I've been expecting you," Cipriani said.
"Is there somewhere we might speak in private?"
"Certainly. My office is this way."
He led them down a short hallway to an office with a window overlooking the piazza. They all sat down, and Sam pulled Yvette's letter from his pocket and handed it across to Cipriani, who scanned it carefully, then handed it back.
"Forgive me. May I see some identification, please?"
Sam and Remy handed over their passports, then took them back when Cipriani was done. He asked, "And how is Yvette?"
"Well, I hope."
"She is," Sam replied. "She sends her regards."
"And her cat, Moira, it is well?"
"It's a dog, actually, and its name is Henri." Cipriani spread his hands and smiled sheepishly. "I'm a cautious man, perhaps overly so. Yvette has entrusted me with this matter. I want to be sure I'm worthy of it."
"We understand," Remy said. "How long have you known her?"
"Oh, 20 years or more. She has a villa here outside the castello. There were some legal issues in connection to the land. I was able to help her."
"You're an attorney?"
"Oh, no. I simply know people who know people."
"I see. You'll be able to help us?"
"Of course. You simply want to examine the crypt. You don't plan to move it?"
"No."
"Then it should be very simple. However, just to be safe, we should wait until it is dark. We Elvens are a nosy lot. Have you a place to stay?"
"Not yet."
"Then you'll stay with us, my wife and me." Sam said, "We don't want to." "No imposition. You'll be my guest. We'll have some supper, then I'll take you to the graveyard."
"Thank you. May we use your office for a few minutes?"
"Of course. Take as much time as you need."
Cipriani left, shutting the door behind him. Sam pulled out their satellite phone and punched in Selma's number, then waited through 20 seconds of clicks and buzzes. Selma's voice came on the line.
"Mr. Fargo, everything okay?"
"So far. Any trouble there?"
"All's quiet."
"I need you to check a license plate for me. Could be tricky. We're on Elba. If you have trouble, call Rube Haywood." He gave her the number to Cipriani's office.
"Okay. I'll see what I can do. Be back to you shortly."
She called back 20 minutes later.
"Took some doing, but as it turns out, the Italian DMV database isn't exactly what I'd call hacker-proof."
"Good to know," Sam said.
"The plate belongs to Etienne Pujol, correct?"
"That's it."
"Then I have bad news. It's registered to a Polizia Provinciale officer. The provincial police. I'm sending you the specifics right now."
Sam waited 3 minutes until the email finally arrived, scanned the contents, then thanked Selma and hung up. He filled Remy in. "Either I've been speeding and haven't realized it, or someone's interested in us," he said. "If it were official, they would have stopped us at the ferry in Rio Marina," she replied.
"Agreed."
"Well, at least we got some warning.
And we know what our other pursuer's face looks like."
At Cipriani's suggestion, they spent an hour exploring Rio Nelelba, but they did so warily, taking care to stay within the village limits and close to crowds. They saw no sign of either the Peugeot or its occupants. Strolling arm in arm, Sam said, "Been thinking about what Yvette said, that she suspected Kolkoff had already been here looking for Laurent's crypt. Bondarook knew we'd come here eventually. It was a logical step."
"So he sits back and lets us do the heavy lifting," Remy replied.
"It's the smart move," Sam said.
At 5:30, they returned to the museum to find Cipriani locking the front door and agreed to follow him home. His cottage was less than a mile away, sitting behind an olive orchard. Signora Cipriani, portly like her husband and with flashing brown eyes, greeted them with smiles and double cheek kisses as they walked up. She exchanged some rapid-fire Italian with Umberto, who ushered them onto the porch and toward a cluster of chairs. A curtain of white clematis hung from the eaves, creating a cozy alcove.
"You'll excuse us for a moment," Umberto said. "My wife needs me in the kitchen for a moment."
Sam and Remy sat down, and a few minutes later, Umberto and his wife, whom he introduced as Teresa, reappeared with a tray and glasses.
"You enjoy limoncello, I hope."
"We do," Sam said.
Limoncello was essentially lightly sugared lemonade cut by a healthy dose of vodka.
100 anni di salute e felicità," Umberto said, raising his glass.
After they had all sipped, he asked,
"You know the toast? 100 anni di salute e felicità?"
Remy thought for a moment and said, 100 years of health and happiness?"
"Bravo. Drink up. We will eat shortly."
After supper, they returned to the porch and sat in the dusk watching fireflies winking in the trees and sipping espresso. Inside, they could hear dishes clinking as Teresa cleaned up. She'd adamantly refused Sam and Remy's offer to help, ushering them outside with flaps of her apron.
"Umberto, how long have you lived here?" Sam asked.
"All my life, and my family, going back 300 years.
"Yes, that's right.
When Mussolini came to power, my father and my uncles joined the partisans and lived in these hills for years. When the British finally landed here in 1944...
"Operation Brassard," Sam said.
"Yes, that's right. Very good. When the British came, my father fought alongside the Royal Navy commandos. He even received a decoration for it. I was still in my mother's belly when the war ended."
"He survived the war?" Remy asked.
"Yes, but none of my uncles did. They were captured and executed by a Nazi death squad Hitler sent to quash the partisans."
"I'm sorry."
Cipriani spread his hands and shrugged.
"What can you do?"
Sam pulled his cell phone from his pocket and glanced at Remy, who nodded. They'd already discussed this.
"Umberto, does this name look familiar to you?"
Umberto took the phone, studied the screen a moment, then handed it back.
"Oh, yes, of course. Carmine Bianco. First, let me ask, where did you get this name?"
"There was a car following us today. It's registered to him."
"Bad business. Bianco is a police officer, but corrupt. He is in the pocket of the Unione Corse. The Corsican Mafia. Why would they be interested in you, I wonder?"
"We don't think it's them," Remy said. "We suspect they're doing a favor for someone else."
Not that it makes a difference. Bianco is an animal. Was it just him in the car?"
Sam shook his head. "Another one. Dark-complected, handlebar mustache."
"He doesn't sound familiar."
Why don't the police do something about this Bianco? Remy asked. You said he's corrupt. Can't they arrest him?
On the mainland, perhaps, but out here and on Sardinia and Corsica, things are not quite that simple. I think I know the answer to this, but have to ask. I don't suppose I could convince you to leave. Tonight, before Bianco does something.
Sam and Remy looked at one another and instinctively knew each other's thoughts. Sam spoke for them.
Thanks, but we've got to see this through.
Umberto nodded somberly.
I thought as much.
Remy said, we don't want to put you and Teresa in danger. If you'll give us directions to...
Umberto was already rising.
Nonsense. Wait here.
He went inside, then returned a minute later carrying a shoebox.
You'll need this, he said, handing it over.
Inside, Sam found a genuine World War II-era 9mm Luger pistol along with two full magazines.
My father liberated that from the Gestapo officer who executed my uncles. As my father told the story, the man no longer had any use for it.
Umberto smiled grimly at them and winked.
We can't accept this, Sam said.
Of course you can. When you're done here, you can return it.
Besides, I have another.
My father was an exceptionally good liberator.
Come, we'll go now.